Let the children come forward for the children's moment. Or anyone else who needs a moment. Good morning.
Hi.
Wow. I have a story to tell you today. Before I tell you the story, I have a question. And I have a feeling that she's going to answer. I just have that feeling. Have you ever thought about being someone other than who you are? Yes. That was a fast answer. Have y'all ever thought of it? Have you ever, let's put it this way. You ever wanted, you looked and you thought, I want to be that movie star. Like, I don't know, John Cobb wanting to be Brad Pitt. How about that? Do you ever want to be Brad Pitt? Or how about someone who wanted to be an athlete? And let's say maybe in this case, Jack Carter wants to be Peyton Manning. He says, that's what I want to do. Tiger Woods went to the wrong sport. I should have known. And so, you know, it's a movie star. Well, who else could you want to be? Somebody who's rich, Bill Gates. Someone looks and says, man, I wish I was Bill Gates because it'd be great to have all that money. Because he's been chosen the richest man in the world more than once, right? So that's kind of nice. But then again, you might want to be a homeless person. How about that? You look out there and you say, I want to be homeless and sit on the side of the road and beg and ask for stuff. How many of you have aspired to, I'm not seeing any hands going up. Well, you know, that's an interesting thing because God tells us a story through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus told the story, it was amazing that there were those who didn't really understand what was going on. But our lesson today is going to involve Jesus' story about a man named Lazarus. And he was poor, and he was begging. He had sores all over his body. And he was at the gate of a rich man. And the rich man was sitting in the house just eating and enjoying his meal, wearing the latest fashion of the day and feeling really good about himself. And the old Lazarus is out there by the gate. And the rich man would walk by and he just looked at him, didn't care. So what do you think happened? Lazarus died. And Lazarus went up to Abraham and was receiving the best treatment. It was just wonderful. Lazarus had never known it could be so good. And there he was with Abraham. But then the rich man died. And he didn't go there. He went somewhere else. And where he went, it was very hot. I don't think even suntan lotion would have helped him. But it was hot where he was. And he looked over and he saw Abraham there with Lazarus. And he says, Father Abraham, let Lazarus come over and dip his finger in water and give me some refreshment. Let me feel better. Abraham said, sorry, no can do. Said, that's not going to happen. You had all of the good stuff when you were on earth, and Lazarus had nothing. And he says, well, then let Lazarus go and tell my brothers, because I don't want them to fall into the same mess. And Abraham said, no. You know what? If they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, what makes you think they're going to listen to someone who has risen from the dead? Kind of prophetic, wasn't it? Yes. So he said, well, you know, I'll just cross over. Abraham said, no. You see, there's this big ditch, and it's there to keep people from crossing over. So you can't come over here, and we can't go over there. Well, you know what the rich man learned from that? He learned that when you have things, it doesn't matter if it's money, talent, skill, whatever it is you have, God gives you that to share with others. It's important that we share. And some of us don't feel that we owe God anything. And others of us are totally dependent. Bless you. Some of us are totally dependent on the grace of God. Lazarus was dependent on the grace of God. The rich man didn't think he needed it. Didn't think there was any reason for the grace of God because he had everything. So what I'd like for you to remember, because you're lucky you get to sit in a lap and relax while I do all the talking. That's kind of nice. It's a good thing, isn't it? is that we do need God, and we do need to share our gifts. God has given us a wonderful church. He's given each and every one in this building and outside this building talents, skills, and in some cases, money. It was by the grace of God that we have all of this, and God wants us to share. So be sure and be a person who shares. Okay? Because Kelly shares. She comes here and she takes care of children. She shares that gift. Isn't that wonderful? Right. Well, let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for all the gifts that you have given us, whether it be our money, our talent, our skills, whatever it may be, we give you thanks. And we give you thanks for our church and for each one here, and ask that you be with those who could not be here today. For we ask all this in the name of your Son, who shared all that he had. Amen. Thank you. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we come to you today in the name of your Son and our Savior. We are so blessed and we have so much to thank you for. Thank you for the life-giving rain. Thank you for the cool days. Thank you for our church and our church family. You're greatly to be praised. And Lord, we invite you to look into our hearts and minds. Your amazing grace shines into the darkest corners of our lives and reveals to us our needs. But your grace also assures us that regardless of our circumstances, we can be victorious through your Son. So please help us individually in just the very ways we need you. Help those suffering with physical pain, emotional pain, and the pain of broken relationships. We pray for our church today. May your kingdom live in our hearts. May your kingdom be active in us as your people to reach out into to our world. May our church be strong as we endeavor to show your love to those all around us. You put your church here many years ago, and you put us individually in this church. We're a part of your plan and purpose, individually and collectively, for this day and time, and we are trying to discern and fulfill your plans for us. Help us to be sensitive to your leadership. We pray for our country and for our president and vice president and the members of the cabinet. We pray, too, for the members of the Congress as they consider the important matters that come before them. We pray for the men and women in the courts of the land. And as always, we pray for the military and missionary forces around the world. Give them strength and give them the power of your word. Be with our elders, deacons, and committees as they seek your guidance to make plans for the new year. Be with our board tomorrow night as we consider our future and where we want to go and what we want to do. Be with each member as they consider their contributions to the challenges of the new year, whether it be through their time, their talent, their skill, whatever you have given them, Lord, that they can share. For we ask all this in the name of your Son. Amen.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that. Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's stairway. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives with me.
Be seated, please. Francis Bacon said, "It is not what people eat, but what they digest that makes them strong. Not what we gain, but what we save that makes us rich. Not what we read, but what we remember that makes us learned. Not what we say, but what we practice that makes us Christians. As we partake of this meal, may we remember our calling, our baptism, and what we've been given by God, that we may always be able to share with others and to rejoice in our God-given gifts." Our elders pray.
Dear Lord, we come to your table today thanking you for our lives and all the blessings that come with each day. We come in worshipful praise of your Son, Jesus, who shows us your nature through his life and ministry. It is through Jesus' suffering and death that you saved us, and through his resurrection that you give us the power to live. As we eat the bread, renew in us the presence of your Holy Spirit, cleanse us from sin, and restore in us new life. Lord, refresh our energy that we may accomplish the work you give us to do.
Lord, we lift up our prayers to you, Lord, and thank you for the new life we have received in Jesus Christ. We know that it is your desire to save all your children, so much so that you sent Jesus to show us your way, to ransom and redeem us. We gather at this table to celebrate this gift of salvation. Here we remember, as we drink from the cup, that one whose life was poured out for us all. Help us by the power of the Spirit to know the peace of the Spirit through Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we pray.
Thank you.
On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, broken for you." Likewise, he took the cup, and after blessing it, he said, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin." Our offertory meditation. A pig ate his fill of acorns under an oak tree and then started to root around the tree. A crow remarked, "You should not do this. If you lay bare the roots, the tree will wither and die." "Let it die," said the pig. "Who cares as long as there are acorns?" There are those who come to the church, partake in the church. They want all the church has to offer. And they will continue to take, but they don't give. And the church is a priesthood of all believers, people who are willing to give and to be a part of what goes on within the walls of the church. That's why we take an offering. And the good news is every one of you here know that, because you are the best at giving of your time, your talent, and your money. But let us never take that for granted. It does take our giving in order for our church to move forward. Let us have the giving and receiving of the offering. Gracious God, for these gifts, we give you thanks and ask that you be with us in our going forth, that we may do your ministry and use these funds wisely. In Christ's name, amen.
Because of what I've done, Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. I'm yours. I'm yours. Because of who I am, but because of what you've done, not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today.
Our scripture reading today is Luke 16, 19 through 31. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, full of sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment. He lifted his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us." And he said, I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into the place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. May Jesus add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Betsy. I appreciate that reading. That's a very powerful story. You think that, you know, you have everything in life, that it must mean good things for you when your life ends. It's not what we hear here. You can have a lot of good things in life, but if you're not willing to do what God has called you to do, then it can take you from here down here, which is a few steps down. You just know that there is something that God wants you to do. We should be able to discern that from the Scripture, but we don't always do that. Problem is, sometimes we misunderstand or simply ignore when someone tries to convey a message to us. How many times have you heard someone talking and you just stopped listening? And then when it's over, they'll ask you a question and you go, oh, I'm sorry, I must have missed that part. What if you missed part of this? Well, that's a big miss. Sometimes people derive a message from something we say or do when no message is intended. Have you ever done something and somebody followed suit and you turn around, oh, no, I didn't mean for you to do that. There was a small town church in upstate New York, and they had a pastor in that church for over 35 years. He was loved by the church and the community. After he retired, he was replaced by a young minister. It was his first church, and he had a great desire to do well. He had been at the church several weeks when he began to perceive that people were upset with him. He was troubled. Eventually, he called aside one of the elders of the church and said, I don't know what's wrong, but I have a feeling there is something wrong. The man said, well, Pastor, that's true. I hate to say it, but it's the way you do the communion service. The way I do the communion service? What do you mean? Well, it's not so much what you do as what you leave out. I don't think I leave out anything from the communion service. Oh, yes, you do. Just before our previous pastor administered the bread and wine chalice to the people, he'd always go over and touch the radiator. And then he would, and the young pastor said, touch the radiator? I never heard of that liturgical tradition. He stormed out and he called the pastor that retired. He said, I haven't been here a month and I'm in trouble. In trouble? Why? Well, it's something to do with touching the radiator. Could that be possible? Did you do that? Oh, yes, I did. Always before I administered the chalice to the people, I touched the radiator to discharge the static electricity so I wouldn't shock them. For over 35 years, the people of his congregation had thought that that was part of the holy tradition. He never said a word. He just did it. And they watched him for 35 years, and that's just the way you do it because that's the way he did it. You know, the priests of Israel were good about passing down rituals. They did rituals all the time. They didn't always explain. They didn't always let people know why they did what they did, but they always did it, and people always watched, and they always believed it was the way things should be done. And so what happens? We get down to where then we have Pharisees who take over that priestly tradition. And people come to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees don't explain anything because nothing was explained to them. And then here comes this guy named Jesus. And what does he do? You got it all wrong. That's not what you're supposed to be doing. And they get upset and they say, no, we've always done it like this. And Jesus says, but you misunderstood the message. You misunderstood. So he tells these stories, and he told this story of Lazarus and the rich man. And he says, what you've done is you've gotten everything up here with you, the priestly group, and you're not sharing it with the people. Notice in this story, he brings up Moses and the prophets. You know why he does that? What did Moses and the prophets do? They served others. Moses spent his life serving others. Moses didn't collect everything for himself. When he got those people out of Egypt, he didn't say, bring me all your gold and silver, because that's what it's going to cost you for me to get you out of here. Even when they wandered in the desert, he didn't say, give me, give me, give me. The prophets came and they prophesied, and people would say, here, have some of my silver. I appreciate it. They said, no, thanks. I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for God. Wow. But here we have these priestly groups that are collecting everything for themselves. Now, is this a way of saying that you shouldn't have anything for yourself? Certainly not. Moses had what he needed. But he shared what he had, whether it be his leadership, his skill, his food, whatever it was, he shared. He didn't hoard it. He didn't keep it just for himself. So, Jesus brings them back on task with this story. You see, the word is there before them, but they cannot hear it. And that is, they don't understand it because they don't get it. Even after he tells this story, they don't get it. I'm going to share a story with you that a man told recently. He said, many years ago when I worked as a volunteer at Stanford Hospital, I got to know a little girl named Lisa who was suffering from a rare and serious disease. Her only chance of recovery appeared to be a blood transfusion from her 5-year-old brother, who had miraculously survived the same disease and had developed the antibodies needed to combat the illness. The doctor explained the situation to her little brother and asked the boy if he would be willing to give his blood to his sister. The man says, I saw him hesitate for only a moment before taking a deep breath and saying, yes, I'll do it if it saves Lisa. As the transfusion progressed, he lay in a bed next to his sister and smiled, as we all did, seeing the color returning to her cheeks. Then his face grew pale and his smile faded. He looked up at the doctor and asked with a trembling voice, will I start to die right away? Being young, the boy had misunderstood the doctor. He thought he was giving his life for his sister. 5 years old. He thought he was giving his life. Jesus says there are those who are going to give up everything good, and there are those who will not give up anything. It's in our DNA, it seems, to not listen to things we don't want to hear. And a lot of people don't want to hear that they have to share. A lot of people in our world don't want to hear that. By insulating ourselves in a world of, I've got to get it all and get it all now, rather than I've got to serve others, I've got to help others now, we're living a life not taught by Moses and the prophets, not taught by our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in there. One time a woman asked a preacher, what should I do, preacher? I want to follow and serve Jesus. I want to do his work totally and completely. The preacher said, great, you could be part of our weekly ladies' Bible study group, and later, perhaps you could lead it. The woman replied, be a part of the ladies' Bible study group? But preacher, I really cannot get along with some of the people in that group, and I think some Some of them talk too much. The preacher then said, okay, maybe you can just teach the children in the preschool Sunday school class twice a month. Or maybe you can teach in our week-long vacation Bible school this summer. That may be a bit better, the woman replied, but I would rather do something else. You know, preacher, I have little patience with noisy children that keep running around. Well then, you can be part of our monthly visit to the depressed areas of the city to distribute food items to the poor and assist in cleaning up in their neighborhood, suggested the preacher. The woman responded, oh, preacher, I love the poor. The only problem is I am sensitive to odors, flies, and filth. Isn't there something else I can do? If that woman did not hear Jesus and Paul, neither will she be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. If we sit and we hear all the things that Jesus has to say to us, all the things in the letters of Paul and James, and then we walk out and we still are not convinced and do not do it, do you think someone rising from the dead is going to help? That's what Jesus says. You've got Moses and the prophets. You've got someone very powerful telling you how to be a good person of God. And you're not listening. How much more convinced will you be should someone rise from the dead? Well, guess what? Jesus rose from the dead. And there are still people that aren't convinced. There were people that were there that weren't convinced. Not understanding something can have bad consequences. We see that in our daily lives. It's like a large company. They were feeling that it was time to have a shakeup, so they hired a new CEO. This new boss was determined to get rid of all the slackers. On a tour of the facilities, the CEO noticed a guy leaning on a wall. The room was full of workers, and he wanted to let them know that he meant business. The new CEO walked up to the guy leaning against the wall and asked, "How much money do you make a week?" A little surprised, the young fellow looked at him and replied, "I make about $300 a week. Why?" The CEO then handed the guy $1,200 in cash and screamed, "Here's 4 weeks' pay. Now get out and don't come back." Feeling pretty good about himself, he looked around the room and asked, "Does anyone know who that goof-off was standing there leaning against the wall?" From across the room came a voice. He was the pizza delivery guy. You know, you got to get the information right. He should have asked before he did that. And we should ask the Lord before we do things that we do. That's why we have prayer. That's why we have prayer, is to talk to the Almighty and say, "Lord, this is what I'm thinking about doing. What do you think about it? You've given me this great talent. I play the piano. I play the organ. Where would you like for me to use that talent? I can sing. What would you like for me to sing and where?" Understanding the story of Lazarus and the rich man was very important for followers of Jesus then and for all Christians now. It is not all about ourselves, but all about our service to those around us. Don't look for shortcuts. You know, "Well, I gave some time to a friend once, that should count." That is different than being committed to giving out of our abundance. Did you hear about the driver that refused to stop at a stop sign, and he was then pulled over by an officer? The officer told him that the reason he pulled him over was because he refused to stop at a stop sign. He replied that he slowed down. The officer then explained to him that the sign reads "stop," not "slow down." He then gave him a ticket. The second day, the same driver refused to stop at the same sign. The same officer pulled him over. The same accusation and the same defense, and he was given another ticket. You ever had anyone like that, Judge? The third day, the same driver refused to stop at the same stop sign. He was pulled over by the same officer and was accused of not stopping at the same stop sign again. and he told the officer that he did slow down. The officer was so angry, he picked up a big stick and he started hitting the man with it very fast. He then asked the driver, "Since you are finding it difficult to understand the difference between stop and slow down, here I am hitting you with this stick very fast. Now, do you want me to slow down or stop?" The Christian life is a life of service. We don't slow down. We do what God's called us to do. We don't just suddenly stop and say, "Lord, you know what? I know I have all this talent and all these gifts that you've given me, but right now I just don't want to do what you've called me to do." How much is enough? How many times do you hear the gospel? How many times do you read the scripture? How many times do you hear from Moses and the prophets and still not get it? How much is enough? That's what Jesus is asking. That's the reason for this story. If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, raising someone from the dead isn't going to change them. That's what's in the story. That's here in this story. And Jesus says, how much is enough? Raising people from the dead? What do you want? When are you gonna get it? How much talent, skill, and or wealth has God given you? And when you think about that, how much of that have you given? Have you shared? Have you said, "Lord, I get it"? Let us pray. Gracious God, sometimes we don't get it, and we ask that you be patient with us and that you continue to bang away on our hearts and minds that we may understand and that we may do what you have called us to do. Our church is going forward, and we're looking to 2014. We're making our plans. Be with us in our deliberations and guide us in our thoughts and our actions, that 2014 may be a year in which we give all that we can give and help your people, your community, your world. For we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Our invitational hymn is hymn number 687, "In Christ There Is No East or West." We're going to sing verses 1 and 4. If there are any who would like to join the church by profession of faith or transfer of letter, please come forward as we stand. Let us sing. Thank you for being here today and blessing my Sunday with your presence. I hope you have a blessed week, that it's a week in which you feel God on your heart and abundance in your life. Now let us receive the benediction. And now may God, the great giver of life and love, be with you now and forevermore. Amen.